Well, yes, go ahead and have a seat. Thank you, Elliot, for continuing to lead us this morning. Thanks to my wife, who is willing to stand up in front of a room full of people and dance her heart out for the Lord. Bless you. It is, right? Our love for Jesus actually gives us freedom, doesn't it? Because we know what it's like to be loved in return. God loves us so much that he was willing to go to the greatest lengths of leaving the throngs of heaven to come to earth as a servant, to give up his life for our transgressions so that we would be restored to the God who made us and loves us. He goes to that extent. And when someone goes to that extent to love you, there's a profound freedom to be yourself, to live in joy and live into the fullness of life. And a special thanks to everyone, of course, who was part of Kids Day Camp and made it a success. Start the party was the theme, and it certainly was a party this week. And as the kids gathered all week, as the leaders gathered with them, there was this sound coming from the sanctuary, the sound coming from the party. It was a sound of singing and a sound of laughter. There were sounds of cheering at times and sounds of encouraging words and words of worship. If heaven had a sound, and I believe it does, I think it would sound like that. In a word, it was the sound of love. It was the sound of heaven's love touching the earth and people who have received that love reflecting it back to the Lord who loves them. It's the sound of love. And we're in this sermon series this summer called The Summer of Love. And we're taking time to consider how love kindles faith. And we began a few weeks ago asking the question, what is love? And as we looked into this question, what is love, we saw that love is more complex and more beautiful than we often think. And when we look to God for an answer to the question, what is love, we see that love is something like Scott McKnight says. It is a rugged commitment to be with and to be for another person. And that, of course, is the love that we see in Jesus Christ. God shows his love to us. He shows us what love is by loving us through Jesus. Jesus is God's rugged commitment to be with us and to be for us. And then last week, we considered then what it looks like to bring love full circle, to not simply have God love us, but what it would look like for us to love God in return, to bring love full circle. And I suggested three ways that we can love God. I wonder if you remember what they are. I quizzed my family earlier this week. They got about 66.6%. It was perfect. It's a passing grade. We can say yes to God. As a way of loving God, we can say yes to him. We can say thanks with the church, like we've been doing this morning already. And we can say, how can I help to people who are in need? It's how we bring God's love full circle. And today, this morning, I want to help you take a step further into love by showing you where love leads us. Because when we receive God's love, his love for us, and when we love him in return, that love actually takes us somewhere. It moves us into something. The Bible actually teaches that love has a destination. That love is moving us forward into this destination. I remember when I was at university and Gina and I were first dating, my life was a little bit aimless, I'm going to say. You know, as a kind of a mid-20-year-old or a young 20-year-old, I was a little bit aimless in my life. All I really wanted to do, I didn't know what I wanted to do after school. All I really wanted to do was to drive my 1990 Suzuki Samurai around town. And I just wanted to play soccer and eat pizza pockets. Like, you know, I was probably 22 years old and, my life goals and my decisions were maybe not moving in the best direction. But as we shared love together, Gina and I, my priorities, they began to change. She shaped the person that I have become. She shaped the goals that I made, the decisions that I made, which is a really good thing because I probably would have died of scurvy by now with all the pizza pockets that I was eating. And the point is that when love is shared, and I'm not just thinking of romantic love here, when love is shared, that love leads us somewhere. And the same is true of God's love. That when we receive his love and when we give it in return, that love leads us somewhere. It has a destination. And so the question becomes, where does this true love lead us? When we receive God's love and love him in return, where do we end up? Well, I believe the answer to that question is found in two places. First, we found an answer to that question at Kids Day Camp this week. God's love comes full circle, and it leads us ultimately to joy. But of course, the second place we find an answer to this question is in the Scriptures. In fact, we find an answer to this question, where does love lead us, in the Bible memory verse that we spoke all day at Kids Day Camp every day at Kids Day Camp this past week. It's found in Acts chapter 2, verse 28. But this verse is actually found also in the Psalms. It's from Psalm chapter 16. And so I invite you to hear the word of the Lord, the word that shows us where love is leading us. Acts 2, 28, hear this. It says, "You," referring to Jesus, "you have made known to me the paths of life. You fill me with joy in your presence." Let's pray. Jesus, this morning, as we sit under your word, we know that your word lifts us up. Your word brings us to life. Your word is love. And so, Jesus, this morning through your Holy Spirit, would you love us as we consider the truth of your word? Jesus, bring us to joy. Bring us into the fullness of what you intend for us as people made in your image, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. So where does love lead us? Well, there are three important words in Acts 2:28. The words path, life, and joy. And the answer to the question lies in these three words together. First, let's consider the path. We're told that Jesus points us to the path. And it's the path that love walks. And what we need to know here in this particular context is that when a psalm or a proverb, remember Acts chapter 2 is based off of a psalm, when a psalm or a proverb, which is called the wisdom literature in the Bible, when the wisdom literature uses the word path or paths, it's speaking about something specific. It's speaking about walking the path of righteousness. And righteousness is the key word. It's a path of righteousness. It leads us somewhere, but it's the path of righteousness. For instance, in Psalm 23, many of you know Psalm 23. It's the great psalm about the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And it goes on in verse 3. It says, "He, God, the good shepherd, he guides me along righteous paths." It's a path of righteousness. Proverbs 4:18 says, "The path of the righteous is like the morning sun, shining ever brighter till the full light of day." Proverbs 12:28, "In the way," or "in the path of righteousness, there is life." And then in Proverbs 8, verse 20, we have this personification of wisdom in the Proverbs. And when wisdom's personified in the Bible, she says this. She says, "I walk in the path of righteousness." And the point is that when Acts 2 quotes Psalm 16, it's talking about a particular path, and it's the path of righteousness. In other words, love is leading us down a path of righteousness. Love is leading us into a righteous life. It's taking us somewhere. Now, the word righteous, for a lot of us, it sounds a little stuffy, doesn't it? To be righteous. It sounds a little stuffy, a little wooden. It might make you think of someone who's holier than thou or a goody two-shoes. Maybe someone that you would feel that you have a hard time being a friend with. But righteousness, I want you to know, is quite the opposite. Because righteousness is a relationship word. It means right relationship. It doesn't mean holier than thou. It means living in right relationship. To be righteous is to live in a right relationship with God and with other people. You see, Jesus' love comes to bring us into a right relationship, first and foremost with God. Jesus forgives our sins and he pays the debt that we owe. He comes to restore each of us to right standing before God. This is the gift that Jesus' love brings us. It's a gift of being called righteous. No longer called sinemy. No longer called sinner. No longer called enemy. That's where I got sinemy from. It's sinner and enemy. It comes from a Latin root. No, I'm just joking. See, that's the thing. I could say something like that and I don't do that when I'm preaching, just so you know, but we're no longer called sinner or enemy. We are called righteous and friend. You see, that's not something that we earn on our own. We don't make ourselves righteous. It's a gift that God gives us. He makes us righteous. His love brings us into right relationship with God. It's where love leads us. Reconciled to the Heavenly Father. But there's more to love than that, because when we love God and God, when God loves us and we love him in return, it leads us to living in right relationship with other people. Not simply living in right relationship with God, but with other people. Love directs us to forgive others. It compels us to acts of justice. It motivates us toward reconciliation. Love leads us down a righteous path into right relationships with God and others. I remember a story about a fellow pastor, and his name is Tom. And Tom went to pick up a friend of his in his brand new pickup truck. It was shiny and new. It even had the new car smell in it. Ooh, don't you just love that smell? And when Tom drove up to his friend, like when he drove to pick up his friend noticed that on the driver or on the passenger side door, there were these two massive scratches down the front of his, or down the side of his brand new truck. And so his friend asked him, he said, "Tom, what happened to your beautiful new truck?" And Tom told him that his neighbor's basketball hoop fell onto their driveway and scratched his car. But the heartbreaker of it all was that his neighbor felt absolutely no responsibility to fix the damage. And so he was left with these two huge scratches in his new ride. And so his friend asked him, well, Tom, how are you going to get him to pay for the damage? And Tom replied, saying that after a lot of soul searching, these are his words, after a lot of soul searching and discussions with my wife and about hiring an attorney, it came down to this. I can either be right or I can be in relationship with my neighbor. And since my neighbor will probably be with me longer than my truck, I decided that I'd rather be in relationship than be right. You see, when God's love comes full circle through us, that love leads us to righteousness. It leads us in making right relationships. It's a love that walks the good path with God and with other people. It's where love leads us. The second important word in Acts chapter 2:28 is the word life. When love comes full circle, love leads us to life. But not just any life, of course. Not just a living and breathing life. Love leads us to the kind of life that God designed us to live from the very beginning. In the Bible, this kind of life is referred to by a Hebrew word called shalom. It's the God life, the life that God intended for us. Shalom, it means peace. We translate it as peace, but what it means is more than the absence of war and more than an inner tranquility. Shalom means well-being, wholeness, fullness. Shalom is life the way God wants it to be, a life that flourishes in every aspect of our living. And we translate the word shalom into the English word peace, of course. And so the answer to the question, where does love lead us? It leads us into life. It leads us into shalom. It leads us into peace. Peace. And perhaps the clearest picture of this shalom peace that we see in the Bible is found in Genesis chapters 1 and 2 in the Garden of Eden, because there we see peace on display. It's where God created the world, and we get a picture of what it looks like for that world to function the way that God intends it to be. And there we see the world flourishing in four different areas of life. First, in Genesis 1 and 2, we see that the garden itself, the creation that God made, it's flourishing, it's thriving under Adam and Eve's care and attention. Creation is flourishing. Second, the relationship between people, between men and women, between Adam and Eve, it's thriving. The relationship thrives without hostility or enmity or power struggles. Relationships are flourishing. And third, the individual self is thriving. As the text tells us, Adam and Eve were there and they were fully themselves. They were fully vulnerable with God and with each other, but they felt no shame or no guilt. In themselves, they were flourishing. And fourth, we see that the people were thriving in their life with God. There were no barriers in their spiritual life with Him. No barriers between God and people. There was a spiritual flourishing. And so when we put the picture together, the Garden of Eden is this picture of shalom, this picture of life the way that God intends it to be, with ecological flourishing and social flourishing and a psychological flourishing and a spiritual flourishing. Every dynamic of life is covered by the word shalom, the word peace. And it is to this end that God's love is leading us to biblical peace, to be alive in His presence, living at peace with ourselves and at peace with other people, and cultivating a peace with the earth that God has entrusted to us. This is the kind of life that God cultivates when we let Him love us and we learn to love Him in return. Peace. So, where is love leading us? Love is leading us into righteousness, on the righteous path, and it's leading us into peace, a life of flourishing. But there's one more important thing that love leads us into, according to Acts 2:28, and that is joy. Joy. The text says Jesus fills us with joy when we are in His presence. And now joy is a hard thing to describe. It's hard to describe in our words, but we know joy when we experience it, when we feel it. Actually, when the Apostle Peter speaks about joy, he says it's hard to describe because he calls it inexpressible and glorious. It's almost as though he's like, how am I going to put joy into words? And he's like, I don't know, it's inexpressible and glorious. It's hard to put into words. It exceeds description. It is inexpressible and it is glorious. And part of the reason for this is because joy is something so much different than what we're used to experiencing with happiness. Joy is different than happiness. Because happiness is something that depends on what happens around you. Like when you get a promotion, we're happy. Or when you receive a compliment, it makes you happy. But the thing about happiness is sometimes it can run out. That the promotion can turn into a job loss. Or the compliments can stop and our happiness, it actually runs out, it expends. Or sometimes what makes us happy one day can bore us the next. And that's because happiness depends on what is happening around us. But joy. The joy that Jesus' love leads us into is different than happiness. The joy doesn't fade. It doesn't run out. Because joy comes from the one thing that never ends. Joy comes from the one thing that will always remain. And that is God's presence. His presence. God's presence is always there, always with us through the Holy Spirit. So joy is always there when we tune into God's love. Joy is that feeling that says, I am home. I'm right where I belong. I wonder if you've experienced that feeling in life and in your life with God. Joy is the feeling that says, I am home. I remember one Christmas Eve, and maybe you've heard me tell this story before because I have, but I remember one Christmas Eve. I was so excited to get home to be with my family after the service had wrapped up because I knew that they were there waiting for me and we were going to celebrate our little family Christmas time together. And so I was so excited to get home and I rushed around the church clearing things up with this feeling of electricity inside of me. And as I rushed around the church trying to tidy up little cups of cider that we had and little candles and such, I was rushing around. I ended up knocking over a glass vase onto the tile floor in the foyer, and it smashed everywhere. Oh, man. And so I grabbed the broom, and I quickly swept it up and cleaned it up. And when I was done, I ran up the stairs as the last thing to get all my things together. And I took my computer and all of my papers, and I shoved them in my bag. I put my bag over my shoulder. I ran down the stairs, opened the door, and went out the door. And as I did, the strap of my bag got caught on the door as I was running out. And it gave me one of these. It ripped open my bag, and papers fell all over the ground. Oh, man! And I picked up my papers and stuffed them in, still with this feeling inside of me. And so when I got all my papers back in my bag, I went running out in the parking lot, and I got two steps into the parking lot, and I hit a piece of ice, and my feet went out from under me, and I landed smack on my rear end. Oh, man! And you would think in a moment like that that I would just kind of give up and say, okay, this has turned into a really bad day. But that's not what occurred to me in that moment. Maybe on a different day, it might have, I guess. But in that moment, I did the only thing that my heart thought to do in that moment. I picked myself up because I was fixated on where I was headed. I picked myself up, I jumped in the air, and no joke of a lie, I clicked my heels together. And I carefully made my way to the car. I drove home. I remember getting to the front door. And I opened the door that day. And as I walked through the front door, I yelled out to my kids, Daddy's home. And they came running down the stairs yelling, Daddy's home, Daddy's home. And I remember the moment they put their arms around me saying, Daddy's home. And we began to jump. Daddy's home. We're jumping. And then we begin to spin. Daddy's home. Daddy's home. And I remember in that moment, this feeling inside was put to words in my heart. And I said, I am home. I am fully alive in the presence of this love. And that's what joy is. It's to be fully alive in the presence of our God who loves us. It's the feeling that says, I am home. And no one can take that joy from you, because God is always with us. His love does not fail us. You fill us with joy when we are in your presence. Church, that is where love is leading us. Into a greater and greater joy, a greater and greater experience of the love of the God who made us and loves us. The joy of knowing our place in his family, and the kind of joy that can spill over into every other area of your life, no matter what happens. And that's precisely what we experienced this week at Kids Day Camp. God's love was pouring into us, and he led us into joy. The joy of being at home together in his presence. And it's where Jesus wants to lead you to today. He wants to lead us all there. Romans 14:17 says this: "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit." Do you see? Do you see where God's love wants to lead us today? Righteousness, peace, joy. You see, the love of God's kingdom is a party, but it's not the kind of party that goes about eating and drinking. It's the kind of party that leads us to these three things: righteousness, peace, and joy in the presence of the Holy Spirit. But mark this, church, I actually think the order is important here. The text doesn't say this explicitly, but I think the order of righteousness, peace, then joy is important. You see, when love comes full circle in our lives, the first step on the journey is righteousness. God's love makes us right with him. He forgives our sin, and he sets us on a course to live rightly with others. And as we walk into righteousness, we actually can experience peace. We can experience life the way God intended it to be. We can have peace with a clear conscience standing before God. And we can walk this good path with him and others. And then, having experienced peace, it is then and only then, I think, that we can know true joy. Joy is the third and final stop on the journey of love. Joy is the final destination after we've let God lead us on the path of righteousness into his peace, into his flourishing. So, church, the question is, do you want the joy of the Lord today? A deep, lasting joy. And if you do, let God love you and love him in return. Receive the gift of his forgiveness and become the righteousness of God. Put on that righteousness and step into life. Let the Holy Spirit instill his peace and flourishing in your life. And as you're filled with his presence, be filled with the everlasting joy. Elliot, why don't you come forward as you lead us in our final song? And I invite you all to stand. So let us turn our hearts to Jesus as we worship together, and we let love lead us.